Okay, so welcome everyone meaning Ella and me at the moment, but welcome for those of you watching later to our ninth week of the Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. It is May 22nd, and I am here to support you and serve you and answer your questions. So we are on to your homework this week. It had to do with evaluating your idea. So we're into the writing and publishing area of this. We're not actually necessarily writing yet, but we're evaluating our idea and beginning to work on a book proposal or a business plan. So with all that said, I'm going to see if Ella has any questions for me because it's just us two. So Ella, you're up. Got anything for me?
Yes.
Good. And let me stop you. Thank you for having your video. It's just so nice to be able to see you and talk to you.
Yes.
At the same time.
Well, I feel because of this wonderful program, I've made tremendous breakthroughs. And now I feel I can show my face.
Awesome. So that's huge. So I don't want you to feel like that's only you. Okay. So let's just talk about that for a second since you brought it up, and it's important to everyone taking this program, right? I cannot tell you how many people I know who don't want to do video. I mean, seriously. And I just came from a 4-day Brendon Burchard event, and you know, we're talking about video and all this stuff, and all these people saying, you know, I don't want to do video. I don't want to do Facebook Live. I don't want to do these things. And I have one coach friend who, about a month ago, she did her first one, and she, you know, and now she's doing them regularly. So it takes a little bit of work and confidence and getting used to it. So I want to congratulate you for doing it because you're a great role model for everybody else in the group. That it can be done. You can get over that fear. And here you are looking at me, and I get to look at you. And I know you've done some other videos, and I think that's just awesome, and I want to congratulate you.
Thank you. It is a huge breakthrough for my generation, my 50s. I just had lunch with my niece for the first time. It was a younger generation, and she was already shooting camera and uploading and doing editing all during our lunch and all kinds of things. That generation, it's second nature, but we have to learn. So
right.
I'm very grateful for this skill set.
Yes.
It's liberating.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I spent years doing Toastmasters, and I thought, I don't need to do Toastmasters. I can watch my YouTubes and self-correct. And it's a brilliant communication tool.
Yeah, it is. And that's awesome that you're self-correcting, because that's what we need to do, is to watch the videos and even have people we know watch them and give us feedback, so that we can just keep getting better. We don't have to delete those old ones. We just do them again, you know, or we do another one. But yeah, and don't think, I mean, I'm 58. So, you know, it wasn't my time either, but I learned just because I knew I had to. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, finally.
That's all right. Well, it's only the two of you at the moment. We get to see Ella today. She's gracing us with her beautiful face. And she was just about to ask a question, but she was talking about video. And so I was commending her on what she called her breakthrough, to be willing to show her face even here, because she's actually showing it on video now. So
yeah.
Good. I was congratulating her and saying she was a good role model for the group.
You are. Absolutely.
I was looking over at number 9 homework. And one of them is describe your market, and about this homework involved competing and complementary titles. And something very wonderful happened this week. I was in the airport on my way here, and my dream competitive book is now a bestseller. Before, I thought I was kind of a sub-alternative book. Now I'm front row best-selling. I'm in the groove.
Awesome. What book is it?
It was called Forest Bathing, which combines mind-body health with awareness of nature and the environment. So finally the bridge has happened and it's hit the bestseller list.
Awesome. So
that book goes straight to my competitive title, and mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
Okay, and how are you, I'm gonna just turn on a light. How are you going to describe how your book is different, but necessary in that same market?
Well, now that this book that just hit the bestseller list is like the breakthrough book. And my book takes the work into specific practices, the urban practice, the long-term self-healing practice, the indoor practice. It takes this general foundation book, breaks it down into practices where people can actually develop skill sets. It's not just a general feel good, this is good for your health. I give very specific benefits for each of the practices, for each of the lifestyles. And my book, because of Nina's course, I can have online courses, I can have meditations, and have great monetary approaches in addition to my book. So right. I'm very excited.
Awesome. So what you don't want to do is wait too long now.
Okay.
So that book has hit the bestseller list. And I mean, you know, you're already so far along with your idea, right? You already have a draft of your proposal, all those things. And so for you, it's not going to be that hard to finish things up and begin sending them out to an agent, right? So that, because, you know, you want to be able to say, hey, you know, this was on my list, you know, from day one, but now it's a bestseller. And I really feel like this is the right time for my book.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what I would be doing. I mean, you don't have to feel like there's a mad rush, you know, that you have to, you know, that something bad is going to happen if you don't do that. But I would just, you know, keep in mind that it's a good time now. And if you wait a year, by then, agents and publishers will have already gotten, you know, 10 more or 20 more proposals on the same basic topic.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll move on it.
Yes. Like yeah, no so I would say, okay, now is the time to really, really get moving.
Okay. Yes, that was okay. A red flag warning.
Yes.
In addition to the green light.
Yeah, well, it's a green light, but it's also, you know, like we talk about in high performance. This is now it's necessity. It's urgency. Now is, you know, okay, I've done all this. I mean, you have been working on this a long time.
Yes.
Right? You have sample chapters, correct? So it isn't like you're far off from being ready to submit your proposal. So now's the time to just be, you know, reviewing everything again, looking what else has come on the market, what, you know, all those things. It's just exactly what you've been doing as you've been going through this course. You've been reviewing.
Okay.
You look stressed now.
I got to quit the perfectionism and just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of this course, I've done the promotion that I need for the book proposal. It's not what I'm going to do. I've already done it. I've got my membership site. I've got my blog. I've got my video posts. So I'm ready for promotion because
awesome.
Of your course. And now I'm ready just to finish the chapter sample and sample chapter and be done.
Awesome. Awesome. And so what else are you doing on social media?
On social media. Well, I have a Facebook page, and in addition to my profile, I'm going to start adding all of the over 1,000 people who are on my profile and onto my Facebook page. I'm going to start my online course setup. So as soon as I finish this book proposal, I'll have the online course to go and our courses. And I'm doing my email marketing set up, everything that we've been talking about.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. So the thing is that, you know, you're in a position to say, I understand my platform's not huge, but I'm working on it and I'm committed to it. Right?
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, did I just go somewhere? Am I still here? Okay.
No, you're still there. You're still there. Somebody joined us.
Yeah. I did teach
you. Deborah joined you because for some reason the Zoom wasn't opening for me.
Ah, okay.
I had a problem too. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why that would be, but okay. Glad you're here anyway. So.
I wish to add, you mentioned that a 5-digit number is good for a platform. Well, I did teach at conferences for many years, and all of those conferences have large networks. So I'm going to use that as my main way of reaching people because I can go back to all those conferences.
Awesome. So that should be on your promotion plan and in your platform section that you've already spoken at all those places and you're planning to go back and mention how big their audiences are and all of those things. And then be sure that you you know, you can also say, I have this many on Twitter, this much, you know, on LinkedIn, this much on Facebook, whatever it is, and then tally them up, you know, because if you're, you may not be close to 10,000, but if you're, you know, once you can get up to about 10,000 of, you know, as a group, you know, amongst, across the board, you're actually beginning to sound like you have a decent platform, at least the start of one.
Okay. I think I can do that with the conferences.
Okay. Good. Good.
And moving into our homework again.
Yes.
We covered the competitive complementary books. I've worked on the promotion. The benefits. My question today is, once again, if we could cover the benefits of the book and how that does not overlap the chapter summary. The chapter summaries, which describe the chapters, versus the benefits. That's my question.
Okay, so the benefits are going to show up in the overview. So for those of you who aren't going to traditionally publish, you're just creating a business plan for yourself, okay? But you want to have the same elements in it. They just don't have to be polished up and beautiful. But Ella's doing a book proposal, which is what you would, if you want to go the traditional route, everything we're doing this month will go into this business plan, which you will then polish into a book proposal, okay? So that's Ella's plan. So in the first section, the overview, what you have there is your marketing piece, which has that, you know, compelling introduction and, you know, takes you through what the book is about and how many words it will be and all that stuff, right? After you do that for a page or two at most, you're going to have a list of benefits, and you're just going to say, readers of this book will, you know, will receive the following benefits. They will learn how to heal through nature. They will, or they, even better, they will receive, you know, 9 strategies that they can use to heal through nature. They will receive 9 meditations, which, you know, I wouldn't say there, I might say in the spin-off section, you could also put, you know, and I will be, you know, the 9 meditations, you know, will also become actual meditations for sale, right? Or I may use one of those meditations as a marketing ploy, right? As a way to, you know, I'll give one away for free to if they buy the book, or, you know, I mean, any number of things. But the benefits are lists of benefits. They'll learn, they will receive, they will get, they will discover. And so that's just a sentence. Your chapter summaries are not just a sentence. They're a paragraph or 2 or 3 that actually say what is in that chapter. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Do you get the distinction?
Yes.
Okay. You have a follow-up question to that? You look a little worried.
Yes, the benefit, I remember now, is a sentence. And I did get it down to a sentence. I remember I worked very, very hard on that.
I do remember that because you had many pages.
Yes, I did. So once again, I revisit and I hone it down.
Yeah.
I am happy with that.
Okay.
I did that. So good. Thank you. I usually am more advanced ahead than I think I am. I beat myself up and then I slow myself down. But no, I've done it. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
My next question is about models. Models for your book. I have 2 models. They were published. Both of them were bestsellers in their time, but they're not bestsellers now. Should I mention much about these models, or is that something quite small?
Are these really well-known books? And when you say you're using them as models, will your book be very similar to these 2? Like, have you taken actual things that they've done and incorporated them in some semblance of that in your book?
Yes. The Artist's Way uses creative clusters, and it created a mass marketing movement. And I've used something similar to creative clusters called connection circles, that so the book can have a built-in marketing plan.
Okay.
Strategy.
Okay. So
based on that strategy.
Right. So very often in your pitch or in a pitch, we can say something like, I can't remember the name of your book, but
A Course in Healing Through Nature.
Okay. You could say A Course in Healing Through Nature is X-Book meets X-Book.
Yes.
Do you remember that? So like in Michael Larson's book, he talks a lot about that. So it's, you know, it's Harry Potter meets, I don't know what, you know, it's The Artist's Way meets, you know, the God Code or so, you know what I mean? So you, and then you can even add to that a little bit and say, but it does this, you know, or, but that's, if those are real models you've pulled on, I would mention that. And then in the marketing section, for instance, or I mean your promotion plan, I would actually have that in there. This book contains information on connection circles, and the foundation for that was, you know, or the idea from that came from the Artist's Way circles, and this is a way for the readers of the book to get together and actually do some promotion, because somebody who buys the book is then going to want to find five other people to buy the book and read it and do this with them.
Okay. What I did was I put models as a separate section, because in my book hook, I actually used two other books.
Okay.
But I used The Artist's Way in a separate section under models, because The Artist's Way is an old book, like from the 1980s, 90s.
Okay. Well, so you could do that. And so at the end of your competitive analysis, you have it there, or you?
Yes. I have my competitive analysis here.
Right, but are these models, where are you putting these models?
They're an entirely separate section. They're not in the book hook, and they're not in the competitive, because they're old.
Okay, so then, yeah, I mean, that's not normally done, but you could do that. You could say, you know, then you just explain. I don't know what you've done there, but if it were me, I would explain that, well, these books were not included in the competitive analysis because they're much older, but they were very successful, and they're in the same genre and would be on the sound on the same shelf. And for instance, you have modeled the circles from The Artist's Way, which helped that book become so successful.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that I've done this without any great faux pas. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I mean, lots of times there are things, I mean, I have Brendan Burchard's book proposals for two of his books. One of the programs I bought, I got them. And I look at them, and a lot of that stuff I can't do, but I mean, a lot of it was not traditional. A lot of it was, but to the extent that, you know, only someone with that kind of platform can actually do. So, but in some cases he's put things in there that I wouldn't normally put in a book proposal, and it's fine. So you have that. And if you can explain why it's important for you to pull out those books like the circles, then I think it's totally relevant.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. All right, so you sit with that for a minute. Let me see if anybody else has a question. We lost Sherry. Deborah, do you have any questions?
I have been brainstorming how I will brand myself with knowing that I'm an advocate for how elderly are treated. Mm-hmm. With what we got down to last time, and that really resonates with me. And
sorry, there was a man walking by. Go ahead.
Sherry will be back. She's looking for something.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Deborah.
Cool. Cool.
Love it.
I like to keep it rolling here.
No worries. I was just like, there's a strange man saying 1 minute. Anyway. All right, Deborah, keep going. So you're working on the branding.
Yeah, and so I was trying to come up with a statement of, what do I call myself? What am I doing? What can I, you know, what can be my welcome for my, to brand on my blog?
Right.
So I'm just throwing out some thoughts. Basically, I'm describing, what is my title? Who am I? So I've come up with advocate for honoring the elderly and the infirm. But then I have several other words and I really, you know, I'm kind of stuck, and I realize this takes brainstorming, but I thought I'd just throw it out there. I'm advocating for their well-being. They are worthy of respect, honor, and they are due compassionate care, dignified care. So I've got several words that are important to me. Honoring, worthy of respect, compassionate, dignified.
And there was a whole sentence kind of. What was the rest of it?
See, I've just been throwing my special words out there. Advocate for honoring the elderly and infirm.
Okay. All right. Got it.
And they are worthy of our respect, honor, and their due compassionate care. So that's about all I can say as far as a couple of sentences.
Right, but what you want is, is the site going to be your name?
Yeah.
So yourname.com?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so then after that, we need this tagline that says who you are, you know, what you do. So I'm just looking at the words. I typed them up after you said them. So a lot of times it's good to have a word, like a benefit word, like teaching, helping, supporting, right? So you might do something like advocating for respectful, compassionate, dignified care of the elderly. It's kind of long, but
wow. You
know, I think I only lost one of those words in there.
Okay, can you repeat that?
No, I'm not sure I can complete it, can do it exactly.
Okay.
But I'm going to try.
It's off your head. Okay.
Yeah. Advocating for the respectful, compassionate, and dignified care of the elderly. There was a "the" in there that shouldn't have been there. So advocating for, maybe what I said was advocating for respectful, compassionate, dignified care of the elderly. I think that's what I said the first time. So advocating for respectful, compassionate, dignified care of the elderly.
That's good.
So something like that. It's a little long, but it gets you started, and it's you know, uses a lot of those words and says exactly what you do. Now, what about Ella and Sherry? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that's good. Maybe go to a thesaurus or something. Find a word that encompasses those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
People would understand what it means.
That's what I came up with, well-being and honoring, but honoring isn't really specific enough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Right. But you want to be an advocate for them. So honoring them
right.
is part of it, but I think I didn't know how to get that one in there. But
right.
I think if you're advocating for the respectful, compassionate, dignified care of the elderly, I think that pretty much says it. The honoring, to me, honoring is a little bit different, because honoring them is kind of like acknowledging their worth and their what they may have contributed. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than advocating for them. Does that make sense to everyone, or am I
yes.
wrong?
I think that makes sense. Well, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ella, did you have any feedback on it?
I was not sure of the word infirm. That word bothers me. I do not know why. I don't think I've heard it in relation to the elderly, but I'm not in the field. Infirm makes me think of infirmary.
Oh, yeah, because they're ill. Yeah.
Well, I also, notice I didn't use it.
But yeah, and Nina dropped it too.
Well, because I think when we think about the elderly, we think they might be infirm, right? They may have illnesses or problems.
Right. Yeah, it could be close, so close, yeah.
But you also have elderly who are not super infirm, and they may still need care and, you know, and somebody advocating for them.
Exactly, okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could use it, but I think elderly kind of, for me and for Ella, obviously, it sort of encompasses it.
Right.
Okay, so does that help?
I think that's good. Yes, that helps a great deal. Thank you.
Okay,
got
good.
It.
Good. Okay. Other questions?
I don't have questions because I'm not writing nonfiction. I'm writing fiction. So.
But this applies to you. But this whole section still applies to you. Don't think it doesn't.
Okay.
So let me explain that.
Yeah, okay, please do.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Most novelists write a novel and just decide they have a good idea. They just go, oh, I have a good story and I'm going to tell it. And yeah, maybe I want to inspire change through my story, but I'm just going to tell it. And they don't go out there and do, for instance, a competitive analysis. They don't say, okay, what are the top, 10 books in this genre or on this subject? Let me read the stories and make sure my storyline is different, that it's unique and it's necessary and that it lends something. Is there another story out there that's inspirational? Let me read that and see what did they do well? What did they not do well?
Mm-hmm.
That to improve what you're doing. You still need to know your market.
Right.
You need to do a competitive analysis. This is why so many novels tank, because they don't bother. The authors don't bother to do this work. So we have market, competitive analysis, benefits. Novels have benefits too. Especially if you're writing a novel that's about change.
Mm-hmm. Should be changing.
Right. So when I wrote my novel, which still needs work and is not published, I went to this pitch session before. It was at the beginning of the San Francisco Writers Conference, and I had my pitch written, right? And I went there, and there was a nonfiction writer and a fiction writer, and the fiction writer said, your pitch, just like a nonfiction book, needs to demonstrate benefit. And so I changed my pitch so it said that it was a book about, the book will be called one day, Turtle's Nest, and it's about a woman who accidentally poisons her son and discovers, there's the benefit word, discovers that she doesn't have to be a perfect parent to be a good mother. Because how many of us parents are perfect? Not many.
Not many.
We can still be good mothers. And so that was the benefit. If you look at the back of almost any novel and you read the description or the flap, you will find a benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for it. So you may not have a list of 10 benefits like Ella does. And you may not even need them other than for your own benefit and for writing that pitch, which could end up on the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
right.
So there's some things that are less important for a novel, but are still beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Last year I went to a conference and I talked to the guy who put the conference on and kind of pitched my book. He said, do you have any idea how many women were either widowed or divorced or, find themselves alone would be interested in this book? And then today I answered an email thing. I just wanted their free stuff. I didn't realize that I was setting myself up for sales calls. But anyway, he called me and I was surprised that he got back to me so quickly. And he said, I read the little paragraph that you wrote about your book and I just think it's one that's needed. So I think it is, but you're right.
But think is not enough. And here is where the novelists fall down in the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how many people exist who need your book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that you're writing a novel. And let me tell you, if you decide to go the traditionally published route, you do not need a complete proposal because you're writing fiction. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you can tell them, this is my market and the size of it,
uh-huh.
Right? And these are the other novels that are like mine and why mine is different. And here's a promotion plan that I've put together. All the things we're doing in this month, you will be head and shoulders above the other novelists.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And plus it's going to make your book better when you know it's going to give you more confidence even to just go out there and research how many people are widowed. Mm-hmm. How many people are divorced? You know, how many women are single? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Right, definitely. Yes.
Well, and when you pitch, I mean, if you pitch to an agent or a publishing company, that is ammunition. For mm-hmm. you, even in an email, you know, even in your query letter, to say, I have this novel and it's unique and necessary in the market in this way, you know, in the bookstore in this way, and it targets the, you know, 5 million women who are widowed or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A query letter is going to make somebody pay attention.
That's true. Good point.
And it makes you sound like you know what you're doing, like you're mm-hmm. serious and you're a businesswoman mm-hmm. and they want someone who's a businesswoman. Now, mm-hmm. let's say you decide to self-publish. Do you not mm-hmm. need any of that?
Well, no, you still need it, one, for the confidence, but two, you still have to pitch your book on the cover. And then when you have to do all the promotion yourself, so you certainly need to know where your target audience is.
That's right, because if you know who your target market is and how many of them there are out there, you can begin to do research on where they hang out.
Good point.
Are there, you know, groups on Facebook for widows? Are there mm-hmm. groups on LinkedIn? Are there associations or, you know, whatever? I mean, you can begin mm-hmm. to figure out and ask some questions. Maybe there's a Facebook group and you go in there and you say, well, when you're not in this Facebook group, where do you go? Where do you hang out? How do you uh-huh. get the support you're looking for? Uh-huh. Right? And you begin to discover that. The other reason you want this information is because if you self-publish, it's your money and your time on the line. If it were me, yeah. I wouldn't want, I mean, the books I self-published didn't cost me a lot of money. They were just little itty bitty things. They weren't a big full-length book. Well, one of them is a complete book, but it's very small. But if I was going to do a 50, 60, 70,000 word book and produce it myself, I would want to know this stuff. I would want to know that there's a market big enough for this book, and I would want to know how to target them, and I would want to have a plan on how I was going to do that. Mm-hmm. I would want to know that my book was unique and different, you know, unique and necessary in the niche where it's, you know, the category where it's going to be sold.
Right.
Okay. So don't just negate this and say, I'm writing a novel, please.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Any other parts of the homework that you felt weren't pertinent to you that we could address?
No. Well, no and yes, because I guess yes in the sense that I said, oh, well, this is all for nonfiction. But, I mean, I have a bio from my other book, and I can build on that now. But I've really been working on my platform because yeah. that was part of my problem with the other book, because I had no platform. And so I've really been working on that. I guess I can chuck up the other book to learning, although it's still selling. So.
Okay. And that was traditionally published or self-published? I can't remember.
Self-published.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so, you know, here's the thing, Sherry. The reason I say everybody should do this is also because if you self-publish, you're a publisher. You become the publisher. Mm-hmm. The publisher's job is to evaluate every book idea for marketability. That comes mm-hmm. from knowing the size of the market and knowing the competition. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when you have that information as a publisher, you can determine if you think your book is, you know, is a good investment for you. And even though you're excited about the book and you want to create change out there and all of that, and I'm not saying that you're going to discover the book is a bad idea, because we know it's not a bad idea, but you might mm-hmm. in the process discover that there's some book out there that you had never looked at that really did something quite unique and good that maybe you could incorporate. Or you're reading, you're going, you know, all these ones did this stuff really well. And you know what, right now my book is lacking that and I need to beef that up. Whatever it is, it could be a storyline, it could be, you know, any number of things. But it's the way for you to, I mean, what I was going to say was that a publisher will have a business plan for a book. Mm-hmm. And it includes all of these things. I don't care whether it's a novel or it's nonfiction or it's memoir, which is nonfiction, but you know, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. The publisher typically for a nonfiction author is going to take a bunch of the sections out of the book proposal and plop them into their business plan. So mm-hmm. as a self-published author, no matter how you publish, you want a business plan.
You're right.
Because knowing how many people are out there, you can begin to try to get a sense of how many books you might sell. Mm-hmm. But that also depends on the competition. How many books, you know, right. Again, this is harder information for us to find as writers because the publishing companies pay for a subscription to Publishers Weekly where they can find out how many copies every book sold. But mm-hmm. you have to kind of do some investigative work and see, did it, you know, hit the bestseller, you know, list? Did it make it to Amazon top 100? You know, what happened with these books to show that they sold copies? Because that then gives you more confidence that your book will sell. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that you can begin to do some research. Well, so how did they market it? You know, can you track how they marketed the book, or are they still marketing it, or, you know, what helped make it a bestseller? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So just, you know, don't negate this and just start building a business plan for your book. The overview, you know, all it is for you is a synopsis, a very short synopsis, and you know, maybe a mention of, you know, how the market is going to benefit from the book and you know, and one or two benefits that they'll get from reading it. But it's the start to a query letter.
Right. Okay. You're very right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, you know, don't feel badly because I cannot tell you how many novelists have picked up the author training manual and say, this is for nonfiction authors only. And I say, no, it is not. That's why I have mentioned novels. Mm-hmm. Right? Because everyone needs to do this work if they want to produce the best book they can. Uh-huh. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Other questions?
Ella, did you say you wrote The Artist's Way?
No.
Okay. Good, because that was like a life-changing book for me. I was like, holy cow, I'm talking to the... Okay.
Yeah, it was one of her models.
Models. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's great.
Okay, other questions? No more questions?
Well, I didn't come with questions because I almost didn't even come with them. I thought, no, that's not the way to be.
Well, Ella has a question. Yeah, we've actually lost a bunch of people. Melinda and Deanna, I don't know where everybody is. Anyway, go ahead, Ella.
I'm looking at the homework, act number 9. I'm happy with my overview, where I have my subject hook. I have my book hook, and I've included my markets with numbers, and I've done my benefits, but now we get to special features.
Okay.
Special features. I should tell you what I did, and please tell me if this is unusual. Each of my chapter weeks has a specific structure of begins with an opening quotation from a specific kind of literature, then there's a diagram, then there's an author story, then a guided visualization, then another author anecdote for this practice, a guided visualization for that practice, an anecdote for that practice, then a box followed by questions. Is that what could be called special features?
Yeah, so part of that is just the structure of your chapter. So very often people confuse benefits and features. Benefits are what somebody actually gets out of your book, like what's the value to them? What will they take away? Okay, that is the most important thing. Features, on the other hand, are some of what you're talking about. At the end of every chapter, one of the, you know, the book or the chapters in this book feature questions at the end of every chapter. They feature two meditations. Okay, I would say the author stories or anecdotes might be seen as just part of the context of the book. I mean, you know, I'm assuming it's sort of, they sort of flow into whatever other content is there. Is that correct?
Yes, it's to create when I wrote my other big books, it had this monologue which put people to sleep, including myself. So by putting in story, question box. I'm mixing it up so it's interesting while staying on the central theme.
Right. So I would not talk about the author's stories. I mean, you can mention them and just say every chapter includes, you know, at least two anecdotes, you know, from the author's experience. But in particular, they feature, you know, two meditations, a diagram. As a matter of fact, you're going to want to say how many diagrams, because they want to know that, because it's part of the production thing, right? Actually, I'm going to give you a name for that because you can put it in a particular section. But that kind of thing, questions at the end, the meditations, that is more of a feature. Now, if you're going to have diagrams, hang on here. There is a section that my agent had. It's not an Easy Schmeezy book proposal because I didn't know about it. And I haven't updated it. And my agent keeps asking me to put it in there. I'm finding it. Hang on, because I can't remember what it's called. It's called Production Details. And it comes right after the overview. So you finish your benefits, and then it says, there's a new section that says Production Details, and that is then, like, on this book of mine, it says, Author of Change is anticipated to be a 60 to 70,000 word book containing 12 lessons that result in a comprehensive action plan for change. The manuscript will include 3 to 10 graphic images easily produced in black and white or with a grayscale. And then it says that I've completed 2 chapters. And it mentions that the book is based on a course I taught. Does that make sense?
Yes, that was a brilliant what you just read about your work. Where did that go? That went under benefits.
It goes after. I'm thinking that it wasn't in my table of contents. It comes so on my here. I'm gonna see whether I can put this in the chat. It comes right after the overview and before markets, and I actually have it indented as part of the overview. Does that make sense? So I'm going to try to type just from my table of contents, put it in the chat. Well, but that didn't work. Anyway, well, you can kind of see it says overview. If you look at the chat, it says overview, page 3, production details, page 7. It should have, you know, page 3 and page 7 should be flush right, but production details is indented. Do you see that?
Yes, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then, so if I were to just type it here a little better, it would be overview, and then, like, I'm typing, hang on. And then production, and I have production details actually italicized. Yeah, it's not letting me indent here the way it did there because I have them. Anyway, you get the basic idea. I'll try it one more time. Yeah, I keep hitting return and it keeps showing up there. So you get the basic idea.
Yes.
I don't know that I can take a picture of it and include it here. I can try that. But that's the basic idea of it. I don't think I can... Well, let's see. I wonder whether I can, is it possible to add something? Like, to attach? No. Okay, well, you get the idea, and if you don't, then just let me know, and I will send you a picture. I'm going to see if I can't copy this picture and drop it in there, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Okay, I'm trying to, yeah, it doesn't do it. And I don't see how to attach something. So if you don't understand, Ella, let me know and I'll send you a picture. Okay.
So it's like a good table of contents. I see how you've broken it down.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. All right, we lost Deborah. What else can I help the two of you with?
Well, I haven't, since I haven't done the homework, I don't have questions or anything.
That's okay. You have, Ella has another one if you don't, but do you have something you want to talk about platform or anything like that?
Nope, I can learn from Ella.
All right, go ahead, Ella. Okay. Ella's already been with me once today. Number two.
That seeing my book on the bestseller list got me fired up.
There you go.
I gotta move on this.
Right.
Here we go. The next question. Subsidiary rights. Let me just find it quickly. As part of the book proposal. Let me just find it. I can be specific. I just had it. There it is. I'm assuming this is negotiated by my agent or an attorney with the publisher, but I probably do not want to mention what electronic rights are possible with my book. Like, I've already shot art movies. I've already got art collections. I've already got audio recordings. And international rights, I really feel the book would be good overseas. Do I want to mention this stuff or how do I mention it? Thank you.
No. Okay, so a few things here. Okay. So when I created that template, I was working with Mike Larson a lot, who wrote the book, How to Write a Book Proposal, and he would always say you needed subsidiary rights in there. And I would put in things like the course or the, you know, just things that could be sold in conjunction with it. And that was fine. But my current agent says that typically that's something the agent will discuss with the publisher. And, you know, it's not something that necessarily has to be in there unless you have something you feel really strongly about. But as for foreign rights and electronic rights and digital book rights, these are things that just get negotiated by the agent with the publisher and they're in the contract. What will happen is you get a contract from the publisher, it'll go to the agent, and the agent may not tell you anything other than what the advance is and when the manuscript is due. Wow. And have you say yay or nay on both, right? Then they begin to negotiate. They may say, you know what, the advance is too small, or I don't like the digital rights. I think we can get better digital rights. I think we could get better rights for you overseas. And they begin to negotiate that because they know best. What they need. And they may have a lawyer on hand as well that they put these contracts through, but most of them are pretty boilerplate, you know, and they're just primarily fiddling with the, you know, the percentages you're going to get for the different types of rights, the advance, the due date, whether or not you're getting paid half up front and half at the end or, you know, whatever. Some publishing companies won't want to pay you until you're done. And, you know, most of us want to get paid at least half up front. They may be negotiating the dates, you know, when do you have to turn in half of it? Something to remember is to ask about indexing, if your book is going to have an index. This is something that gets negotiated. And my first contract, it was lucky that my agent knew enough to see that I think what happened was they said the index was $2,000 because it cost about $2,000 to have an index done on a book. And I was like, well, I don't want to pay that. And she said, okay, let me go back. And they covered the index. And since it was Writer's Digest and my next two books were with them, other than my current agent negotiating better rates for me, you know, better percentages for me, things like the index were kept in. And I never had to pay for the index. So there are things like that you want to ask, is there anything that I'm going to end up paying? You know, but that's all stuff that happens after you actually get a contract.
Okay.
So don't worry too much about the subsidiary rights at all. You know, and that's one of those things where with your agent, you can ask, say, I have photographs, I have videos, whatever. Does any of this need to be protected or whatever? Anyway, go ahead. You had another question.
Yes. My concern is this relates directly to you. I don't want to lose my monetary income, like from my online courses. Are you going to keep your money that you get from your courses with a contract with this book?
That should be totally separate.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. And you just make sure that that's clear.
Okay.
You know, you tell your agent, well, you know, I already teach courses on this and I plan to teach courses on it and I don't want that in any way related. And that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, most of the publishers are very happy that you plan to teach and do an online course and be marketing because that's going to sell the book. You know, you can even, there are all kinds of ways to do things like, you know, you get my book free when you take my course, or you take my course and, you know, you just pay shipping and handling on the book, or when you take the course, I buy you a copy of the book as, you know, one of my students. And, you know, I used to always send books from here because the publisher will give you some box loads of books when, you know, that's something else that gets negotiated. Do you get 50 books or do you get 500? It's all negotiated. So I usually typically get about 200 books from Writer's Digest, which doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot of boxes and lasts me quite a while, unless I'm out speaking a lot. But I used to send those and I just pay for the shipping because I was like, well, I didn't pay for the book. So, you know, they think you're going to use them for marketing anyway. They think you're going to send them to reviewers and the media and whatever. And I do that, but you usually have plenty. And so, or at least I've always had plenty. So recently I was signing people up for the high performance and the Nonfiction Writers University Masters. And I said they would get a Kindle copy of the author training manual. Why Kindle? Because if I go and I buy five of them at one pop, it boosts my sales on Amazon. Right? If I'm sending books from my house that I already purchased or got for free from the publisher, that is not helping my ranking at all, anywhere. So, you know, you just figure that into your cost, right? But if a Kindle book, that, yeah. Well, even if you did I've done print books before. It's not that bad. I mean, if you're doing it through Amazon, there's a discount, right? They send it. You pay a little in shipping and handling. But, you know, it's very easy to do that. And so I would be thinking about doing something like that because it's a marketing thing, right? You can do the reverse. So I'm about to, well, it might take a few more months, but I'm about to have some sales pages for my books that are, you know, go to Amazon and buy the book, give me the code. And then once I get the code and see you've actually purchased from Amazon, you know, that purchase code, I will send you a free course. So the free course is no sweat off your back because you create the course, it's online, you do it once and you never have to do it again. Right. So it's, and you get it all, you automate these things. So that, you know, they prove that they've bought the book and then they automatically get access to a course. And that's how most of the bestsellers today in the personal growth area and stuff like that are, you know, people like Brendan Burchard and Michael Hyatt, all these people, they're all doing those kinds of campaigns. So I don't think you're going to have any problem with your course. And I would be using that course as much as you can to promote your book.
Good.
Okay. A lot of things.
She's on fire.
Yes.
This is great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Took away a lot of fear. I was worried about that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. No. You shouldn't be worried about that. And you just tell your agent and you say, you know, I don't want them to have any rights to my online courses or live courses or any of that. Okay. Other questions? No?
Nope.
Well, we've got about an hour. I mean, I am always happy to stay for an hour and a half if we have questions. If we don't, then we have covered most of an hour.
Yeah.
But. So, Sherry, nothing to do with your marketing or building platform?
Marketing, I don't know. I haven't. But, my platform, I think, is coming. I'm blogging my book like 300 to 500 words a week.
Okay.
And it's stirring some interest. It's not huge interest yet, as far as I know. I guess I don't know that, but.
Okay, so there's a question for you. Do you have Google Analytics? You're using a WordPress site, right?
Yes.
Do you have Google Analytics?
Maybe not. Okay. GoDaddy is my host.
So GoDaddy, number one, should have some built-in analytics.
Uh-huh.
That that you should be able to access. So I would email them or call them and say, are there analytics on my site that, you know, you have? Most every hosting company I've ever used had some kind of analytics.
Right. Okay.
And then I'm getting you a link to something.
I'm going to get a pen.
All right, what I'm putting in the chat, I just did a search on how to install Google Analytics on WordPress.
Uh-huh.
And if you can go to the chat and just click on that, it'll open in your browser somewhere.
Okay.
See if that works. And then you'll see that, you know, there's a video. There's a couple different videos. There's a bunch of different articles. There's the Absolute Beginner's Guide to Google Analytics. Okay, so just pick one or two of these to look at. And all it is do you have a Google, you know, like a Gmail or?
Yes, yes, okay. I do.
So if you have Gmail, then when you go to your to Google and you see, you know, you should be able to, it's not really a drop down, it's a, what does it look like? So when I go, like mine always opens up in Google Plus, but there's a little, you know, like a grid with nine little squares up in the right-hand corner.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when you click on that, it shows you a whole bunch of things. Then uh-huh. You scroll down and there's some more. But then I think you have to click even more and then it's going to open a new tab.
Okay.
And usually that's where Google Analytics is.
Okay.
Although I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. Oh, even more. Oops. Well, that just took me to meet your Google assistant.
Okay. So just follow because I'm actually, I don't know why it's not there. If you just Google... Oh, here, wait, yes. Okay, so it took me to a page that says our products.
Okay.
And it's way down under grow your business. It says analytics.
Okay.
So here, I'm gonna put this, hold on, I'm gonna put this link in the chat. Ella, do you have Google Analytics?
Yes, I believe I do.
Okay, so I just put another one in the chat.
Okay.
And scroll all the way down. Actually, I'm going to just click on. Hold on. Okay, well, the place you go to sign up for it, I'm going to put that link in here too.
Okay.
It looks like some weird thing. I don't know what happened with that. But I think that does take you to login. Yeah, it does. Just click on the part that came up blue. And it just says sign in. And you put your email or phone that you use with Google.
Mm-hmm.
And just go through the process. But I would watch some of those videos or read the pages. So let me explain what that is. It's Google's analytics. And as an industry, just in terms of website development, blogging, all of that, Google is sort of the industry standard on what kind of traffic you're getting from your blog. And so I would install that, give it a month or 3 weeks or something to actually collect some data. But you can be going in there from day one and seeing how many people are actually showing up on your site. And I can give you a picture of that. Hey, Linda.
Hello, everyone.
You've taken Deborah's place. She left. I don't know where she went. We're still missing, I don't know how many people. But we're talking about Google Analytics. So I'm going to see if I can just sign in real fast and show you. Because Sherry was saying she doesn't know if she really has any traffic to her blog. So I want you all to understand how you can tell. And I was saying that your hosting company should have some analytics. Hold on, I have to type in my name here. I recently cleared my cache, and so I have to sign in everywhere. Okay. It's coming up slowly. Let me try sharing my page. Maybe by then it'll come up. I don't have any idea what that is. Okay. They have redone it, by the way. They're always redoing it, and so I'm always curious about, you know, what's happening here. But okay, so reasons showing nothing is because I don't use copyright communications anymore, but I think it's the home one. So if we were just go to ninaamir.com. Okay, so see, I'm clicking on, something didn't work. Hold on, I'm clicking, and then not paying attention. Oh, maybe now. Yeah, sorry, it's just always slow when I have all this going on. What is this? Remind me later. Okay. So now you can see this is Google Analytics on ninaamir.com. And so it's telling me about my bounce rate. That's a high bounce rate. I would like it to be lower, but that's, you know, somebody shows up and then goes away right away. Okay, but I've had 1.7 thousand visit sessions, people actually showing up in the last 7 days. 1.5K users. And so you can go down here and you can see how they're coming. So, you know, organic search is somebody just searches for something on the internet and shows up on my site. Direct is they're being sent there by a link. Email is that they came via email. Referral is from some other site referred them. Okay, so we can see how, we can see what times of day are the busiest. Can see where they're coming from. Can see which pages they go to most often.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that tells you what else you want to write on those topics, right?
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is always these are always pretty old. I'm always surprised. Like memories are for blessing. That's so old. I still get comments on some of these because people go to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is right here, and this is the Nonfiction Writers University Master's sales page. In the last 7 days, it had 39 views.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See what's over here. For the last 30 days, the trend, so you can see I had 6.3K users in the last month. How many per month? Daily, 262. All right, so there's a lot of information here, and you can click through and find out more. You could go to real time, for instance, Sherry, and say, give me a real overview of real time and see what comes up. You can find out more about your audience, about their behavior, right? So right now there's one person on my site. It's telling me how long people stay. They're reading this page. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Traffic sources. So this person, it was an organic search, it's saying. Right? Go to audience. Anyway, then I'm going to show you something else because I don't want to stay on this too long. And Linda, I want Linda to get to ask some questions too. But I don't know what's happening there. But anyway, you get an idea, right?
Yep.
So now let's go. So on my sites, I also have, oops, sorry, hang on. So I also have analytics on all my sites, my own, you know, different analytics. Mm-hmm. This is really important. The reason I'm stressing this, you know, isn't just Sherry, because you said you didn't really know if you had anyone reading, but because you want to put this in your book proposal, or you want to know this in terms of, is this resonating with what I'm writing blog posts? Are they resonating with anyone? Right. Uh-huh. So I can't remember what the name of this program is. Maybe it will tell me when I get there because Robert installed it for me. Mm-hmm. Monster Insights. It's called Monster Insights.
Okay.
And this is what I look at all the time. I'm going to move you guys over here. And you can see how I'm trying to figure out where to put you all. These are the page views per day. So you can see that on May 14th, I had 384 people who showed up.
Yeah, great.
Right? Yesterday, when my blog post published, I had 350.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now those are not huge numbers. On the other hand, for years and years and years, my goal was 100 people a day showing up on my website because that meant 3,000 people a month.
Wow.
That was my goal. I was like, to me, that was huge.
Sounds huge to me.
Yeah, so I mean, over the course of a month, I have a good amount of people who show up here, right? Mm-hmm. This analytics is all, I mean, but it could be way bigger, is I guess my point is, yeah, it looks good to you, but me, I still go, why don't I have more? But anyway, you can see here which pages have gotten the most views in the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are old. There it is again. Memories are for a blessing. It says I've had 540 views of that page in the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now it's giving me the top traffic sources. Google search, direct link, ActiveCampaign is my email marketing system. People coming from my website, writenonfictionnow.com, or from Bing or Facebook. Coming from my site, how to blog a book. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that. You can go down here and see what countries they're coming from. Again, just like on Google Analytics, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And these numbers don't always sync up exactly, I'll have to tell you. I'm not sure why that is. But you can see, I'm getting people all the way from Malawi and Nigeria. Okay? So, you know, there are a lot of different things you can look at here as well. But the point of all this is you have to have some kind of analytics, okay? Because without that, you have no idea.
Right.
And you don't know if anything's working either. So you want to have analytics so that you can say, okay, I did such and such. Did it work? So very often I'll go to Monster Insights and I'll see this big, huge spike. And I'm like, what happened on that day? Like, did I write something? Did I, you know, was it the blog post from that day? Was there a link from somewhere else? You know, sometimes that happens. I get, I'll get notified that somebody linked to one of my pieces. Well, if they have a huge audience, that could spike my readership.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that's what you need, Sherry, okay? I want you to at least go to Google Analytics. It's free.
Uh-huh.
All it is you set it up and then you get a code and you put that code into a specific place on your WordPress site.
Okay.
It's not hard. I mean, I used to do it all the time. I could probably do it with you. If you can't do it, I would just have to search around again because I haven't done it in so long.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I have the guy who set up my website for me. He could probably tell me if I have analytics and how to get to it.
Yes, he could. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Linda, did you have any questions today?
I do not have any questions today. I just finished my coaching session and thought, oh, we're always on till at least 8:30 or so. Let me pop in and say hi and see how everyone's doing.
Okay. Well, you look very nice today.
It was very nice to hear about Google Analytics. I didn't know it was free, and I haven't looked to see how Kajabi keeps track or what they do. So I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, they must have some analytics somewhere, and it could be Google Analytics that you have to install. I have no idea.
Right.
So heard a lot about Kajabi this weekend because I was at Experts Academy. So.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Lots and lots about Kajabi. My girlfriend who has so little money, and she's just really wanting to get back up and running, and her old website was with GoDaddy, but when she didn't renew after 30 days, you know, they deleted it, so it doesn't exist at all anymore, and because it was years ago that she had it, and she was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and finally she was just like, you know what, if it's not simple, I'm not going to do it. And she's not techie, and she, you know, plus when you buy it at Experts Academy, you get all of Brendan's templates, so everything he's ever used is in there. So anyway, so she bought it. So we'll see if she does, if she uses it.
I did not find Kajabi easy. I had to hire someone to get my website up and running. With that being said, they have made a lot of changes, and they have heard us, you know, say, wait a minute, this isn't easy like you marketed it. And so they have made a lot of new templates, and they have made it easier. So I am in the process of redoing my website. I haven't put the new one up yet live. So I still have the old one that the other person created for me. But there's still things on there that you just don't know. And actually, that brings me to a question that I did. I meant to send an email to you and didn't get around to it. I have no idea how the email system works.
On Kajabi?
On anything.
Okay.
So other than, you know, people sending me emails and me sending one email at a time, I don't really understand, like, I know you can send out a whole group of emails. I know you can put each individual person's name on there. But when I look at my email list, they don't even provide the person's first name. So how is that?
What are you using?
I just use Kajabi. I don't have anything else.
Okay. So when you create a form and they add themselves to your email list via your form, do you mm-hmm. only ask for one name, not their full name, or no name? Are you just asking for an email?
You know what? I have no idea because I didn't set it up.
Okay, so let me share again. I don't know if this is going to be helpful or not, but.
So I probably should go try to figure out where that's at and check it out.
Yeah, so, oops, that's not what I wanted. So if we go back to my site itself, just so you understand what I'm talking about, let me see if any of my other sites are up. No. Nobody is on the homepage, so I have to wait for this to come up. All right, so most of you will have this way higher up, and maybe on the right, we set this site up to feature my programs, okay? So we used to have, oh, that's interesting. That's new. Okay, but see, here's a pop-up. Okay, I was going to show this lower down. See how that just popped up?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And it says, enter your name here and your email address. It does not say first name, last name. You could type in Joe Schmo, you know, it wouldn't matter. They don't care about that, but it does need a working email address. Okay, but if you, off on Kajabi, so if we go back down, I'm just so intrigued by what this is, this video training. I have to find out what video training I'm giving away. Anyway, if you look here, it's the same. Right? It's really not saying. And the thing is that most people don't want to give their last name. The harder you make this form for them, the less likely they are to fill it out. These days, a lot of people are just taking the email address. The problem with that is that then when you go to send an email and you want it to say, Dear Linda, it doesn't say anything because you set up a, here I can let me see if I can go to Active Campaign, which I'm not as adept at, I have to say, but you know what, let's just go to AWeber. My AWeber is still working, so anyway, there's a thing you put in, usually says name something, and what it does is it fills in the email. Okay, so it's actually going to fill in the person's name in that email, and if you don't have that, then it's very hard to actually identify someone automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing you need to look at, Linda, is, you know, what do my forms look like?
Okay.
You said there was no name at all, just an email?
Right, all I have is emails, because I don't have a whole lot of emails, so as I was going down the list, I recognized many of the people, but there were a few on there that had just signed in to receive something free, but I had no idea who they were, so I wasn't even sure how to really connect.
Right. So if we go to, all right, let's go, hang on, it's coming up. I don't know what that is. We just downgraded my system. I don't know why it says I have an outstanding invoice. That's unusual. Also, I'm getting all kinds of weird messages everywhere. Okay, so let's go to sign up forms for how to blog a book. And I'm assuming Kajabi is going to look somewhat similar, you know? Anyway, so here we have, I don't know which either one, I don't know which one is which here. Maybe this one. So I'm going to hit preview. We'll see what this one is since I have two of them. Okay, so this just says name and email, and it's not asking for first name or last name. So they're going to put in whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
This one, same. Okay, but you can see I'm giving something away. But I could have first name, last name, email. The benefit to that is that then, you know, you do know exactly who they are. But now if we were to go up to broadcast. Okay, these are, okay, let's just do this. I'm just gonna create a message. So if you were in and creating a message, the problem with not collecting at least a first name, you know how my emails come to you and they'll say, hey, Linda.
Yes.
It sounds like it just came from me, right? I mean, like, I wrote it to you. Yeah, well, that's not true. I want you to think that, and I can do it even in the subject line. I can say, Linda, we've got a meeting coming up, right?
Right.
And it's going to catch your attention more than if you don't do that. But see here where it says first, I never know whether this thing is blocking your view or not. Anyway, do you see here where it says first name fixed?
Yes.
Every system, every email marketing system is going to have something very similar to that. That is what you drop in to personalize. So if I want to hear to the subject and I want to have an email that says, hey, Linda, I have to go here and it's not coming up yet. Oh, there we go. And I put first name, see, hey, first name fix. You are missing. Your next or your ACT session, right? So now I have a title. So what's going to happen is if I go to preview and test, we don't really have much here, but I could send myself a test. Hold on. Oh, it's asking me to personalize. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, enter your email address. Sorry. Okay. So now I'm going to send myself a test. And it's probably going to, should come up with my name based on the email. Except it's somehow not liking something.
I understand.
Okay. So yeah. So you need that for that to happen. Okay. So what else about the email don't you understand?
Well, I just, the whole process. So I do a blog. Now, I want to send that blog out to all of my people in my email list, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I type something up. I guess I have to find out from Kajabi, how do I get all that done? I mean, where do I...
Right. So here you see is the draft, right? So if I were to write something, I could write it over in Microsoft Word. I could check it in Grammarly, and I could come back here and I could drop it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I just have to work on it probably.
Yeah. But see, what's happening for me is a lot of these broadcasts are actually what we call a blog broadcast. So that's why I didn't open any of these other ones, because on how to blog a book, I don't send very much, you know, unless I'm promoting something. I'm usually not sending them much mail, but they get a blog post every week. So see, each one of these is actually the blog post being auto-delivered.
Okay.
So I'm opening it up, and you can see how many people opened it and clicked and, you know.
So when you do your blog, you have it set up to where it does an automatic email and send everything out?
Yeah, so this is called a blog broadcast in AWeber. Okay. Okay, but I have them going out now with ActiveCampaign. You're all still getting them. We just switched systems, but I don't know how to set it up there. I did know how to set it up here. But you see how it's not very here. It's not very personalized or anything. And all you have is the link and a little bit of information on it. And then you can click through. I think the ones you're getting now from ActiveCampaign look a little nicer. But do you see how the system is producing that?
Okay.
So that's what you need to figure out is how does Kajabi do that? And how do you produce a form that has name, you know, the name as well as the email address?
Okay.
Yeah. And then how do you actually get your, you know, the content from your blog or the link from the blog going, you know, every time you publish, you don't want to have to do anything. You just want to say, okay, you know, the post got published. It's going out to whoever subscribed.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Ella, we were talking about email earlier today.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Linda, you might want to look at that too, because even though you're on Kajabi and not on some other system this morning, I haven't sent the email yet, the recording yet, but today's Nonfiction Writers University coaching session, we had a long discussion on email.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will watch that.
Okay. Does that answer your question, or do you have more questions about that?
No, that's good. Am I too late to sign up for your upgrade for your master's? I know you sent me out an email, but I didn't. I read it real quick, but I didn't notice if there was a deadline on it.
There isn't. I'm trying to get 20 people in at the early adopters, and there's still space.
Okay.
So, you know, Ella's been waiting till this is over. I would say we're gearing up. The assessment, I think, is going live on Monday. And so it's going to start funneling people in, you know, cold traffic. We just did a soft launch to people on my list and in my classes. So in the next week or two is a good time to get in before those 20 spots are filled. I think about 6 of them are filled. I mean, we have a couple of people like Ella and another person, Pam, and there are a bunch of people who have said, I want to do it and just haven't done it yet. Yeah. So I can't say when they'll do that and when those will go away. But once I have 20 filled, then the price goes up.
Yeah, I need to think about it a little bit more. But so I just decided today that I would get on there and do it. So
okay. Well, you have a trial period, and you can always drop back down, you know, so... What you doing there, Ella?
One second. Sorry.
That's okay. No worries. We won't bother you. Do whatever you need to do. Deborah, is that you who joined us again? Hello? Who joined us? Ella, you're unmuted. You're muted. Ella, you're muted. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, maybe she's talking to someone on her phone. Deborah, is that you, or who joined us?
This is Ella. I joined.
Oh, you joined by your phone. Okay, no worries. So now we have your picture and we have you down here. You may need to turn your computer. I'm not hearing you, so I don't know whether it's conflicting with your computer. We can't hear you at all if you're trying to talk.
Oh.
Are you back? Unmute yourself. There you go. Is your computer dying or something?
Yes, I'm going to go in 30 seconds.
Okay, no worries. No worries. Okay, but thank you for being here. Thanks for showing your face, your beautiful face.
Yeah.
Yes, I hope you'll continue doing that.
We'll call in a minute.
Okay, all right. We'll still be here for a little bit. Okay, other questions based on what we're talking about or on something else or on the homework or whatever? Everyone else has asked a bunch of questions, Linda. Actually, Sherry didn't have many, but we ended up covering a lot of ground for Sherry. Ella has always had a lot.
I like I said, I don't really have a lot of questions. I did start writing and outlining my book, so I'm starting to move along.
Awesome.
So I feel like all the questions and the work we've done the past few weeks has helped, and I did decide to do a 30-day challenge on following the joy and seeing where that takes me and the amount of work I accomplish and things like that. And so I can include that in with, just a little section in the book. And we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. Pat yourself on the back. I mean, you're getting going.
Yeah. And the president of this one nonprofit organization, and I actually have thought about writing a quick book answering 10 of the top questions that they get. We work with providing a senior service. But then I was thinking that's probably not a good idea because that would be two things at once, and wouldn't that be distracting? Or how do you do that? Do you actually do two books at once? And what's with
I don't.
Okay.
I could, because I could see how I would compartmentalize. It's kind of like saying I'm going to write an article or a blog post and I'm going to write a book, right? So for me, it's like each project is separate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't take away. But I find the continuity of working on one book at a time better. And, one of my goals this year is to, which I'm not succeeding 100% at yet, but is to, well, that's because I'm working on one book. But anyway, the point was my goal is to not ever not be working on a book. Because in the past, what I did was I worked on a book and it got published and then I would be marketing it. And then I would turn to a new book proposal or an ebook or whatever. And I want writing to be part of my morning practice every day. And so when one book goes off, another gets started. And if I have to stop because I have to work on something, you know what I mean? It's fine. But so I could see where, I might be doing revisions on one book and be working on another. In the mornings I'm working on that. And then because somebody's asked me to do revisions, I'm working on those another time. But I do like the continuity of starting and finishing. And so because of that, the likelihood is I'm going to be, working through. Like a lot of people say, oh, I wrote chapter 7, but I've only done one, 1 and 7. I can't work that way. Like it drove me crazy that with the Author of Change, I've written chapter 1 and chapter 3. Like that is very hard for me. But so you could work on two books, but explain to me again. So you're working on your book, and what was the other thing you said? It was an association.
Right. It's a senior center here in our county. There's only one. It's a large corporate nonprofit group, but they need more recognition. People don't know that they exist many times, and we have this huge program where we send volunteers out to the seniors' homes to help them. The people that are alone. And what I really think they need is they need to focus on the children of these. So if I had a parent that was in their 80s and needed help to get to the doctor's appointment, things like that, and I didn't want to be taking off work, that's what our center does. We take them on their doctor appointments. So we have full transportation for them. We have, you know, they could be there the whole day, you know, with other people. And but the community doesn't know them well enough. So I thought if I did a little ebook that they could start getting passed out throughout the area for free, or just a little more of a pamphlet versus just some flyer that people have no idea what it is and toss it, it would, you know, maybe help them. But on the other hand, I look at all the other work I have going on. As president over there, I have all these meetings coming up, all these other responsibilities. So I'm just like, oh, maybe I need to step back and not do so much over there. I'm just, you know, kind of looking at everything and saying, wait a minute, where should my focus be?
Well, I think your focus should always be first on your priorities, on your job, on you fulfilling your purpose, you doing your work. And I think after that, you can do other things for other people. Now, this sounds like a volunteer job that sounds very nice and fulfilling and probably would be very useful to do a pamphlet or an ebook, or, you know, they could probably use a blog. That would help them be more discoverable.
But, I've told them that. They won't do it. Yeah, they don't want the time.
Yeah, so the pamphlet is good, but yeah, I mean, is it your main – is it going to take you away from doing what you need to do? And you're already saying, can I actually write a book and write the pamphlet or an ebook for them at the same time? Well, yeah, you could. You just compartmentalize and you block time. But do you want to block time for that? You already have a lot on your plate.
Yeah. I probably won't.
Okay, so Linda.
I'm talking to you and talking myself out of it.
Okay, so Linda, do you remember, which session is it? Do you remember when we did high performance coaching and you... I'm going to see if I can find it really fast. I don't know that I can. There's one assignment that you get. I'm trying to see if I can find it. It's a session where you have to evaluate whether or not something is. Yes, here it is. Session 9, the action indicator assessment. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. I even have given that away as a free opt-in thing.
Yeah. So you want to go back and look at that for this.
Okay.
Okay. So session 9, the action indicator assessment. Go through that about this book.
Okay.
And I have a feeling I know what you're going to discover, but do it anyway. Find out for yourself. Yeah. I could be totally wrong. I could be 100% wrong on my evaluation of that.
I think I need to stop putting everybody else first.
Yeah, probably. But go ahead and do that assessment. It'll take you five minutes.
Yep, I know.
Yeah, so do that. And anyone who's asking about that, Ella should have it too, because Ella has gone through High Performance Writer. Sherry's the only one who doesn't have it. Sorry, Sherry. It comes right. It's part of the program. Join the Master's Program, the Nonfiction Writers University Master's, and you'll get it. Not right away, but you'll get it. Okay, other questions? No?
Mm-mm. I have a quick question.
Okay, this will be our last one.
Does the master's program include the transformational writing program that follows the ACT program, or is that a separate segment?
It's separate. So the only course I've kept separate are the ones in the Author of Change transformational coaching programs. So that's this one we're doing, and then the Write Your Transformational Book Challenge. So those are separate.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
when this course is over, we could just rewatch all this, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so anything you missed, Linda will still be there. There's a guy who, he signed up and then said he didn't think he could watch. Actually, he was on the first week. I don't know if you guys remember. And at first he was going to get a refund because he has some reasons why he couldn't watch it and be on screen as much and things like that. And I said to him, I said, just, you know, watch the videos. And I actually told him, because of the issues he was having, that he could come back and do it live the next time. But that, yeah, but he signed up, he paid, and he gets it forever. It will never go away that I can think of, unless I guess I'm dead and gone and somebody doesn't want to keep it all up. But yes, you go back and just watch anything, and anything you've missed, it's all there. Other questions?
Nope.
No? Nope. We're good? All right.
This homework.
Yes. Yes. Do the homework. Get caught up. Don't think that because you're a novelist that, and none of this pertains to you, it does. Okay? All right. All right. So we will call it a day. I'm glad that everybody was here and that I could see some smiley faces. And I will talk to you next week.
Have a great week, everybody.
You too.
Bye, Linda.
Until then, go out there and achieve more inspired results and share your message, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for coming.
Bye.